Hello, welcome to the Wednesday, December 16th, 2015 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Today we got a little bit of different diary from Russ. No PowerShell script for a change. Instead, some thoughts about incident handling and, well, managing incidents. In particular, how to avoid drifting off into chaos and keeping incident response orderly. Also keep the rest of the organization operating orderly. In part, well, transparency and not making any quick and not well thought through changes while the incident handling is still in progress. So one example he puts forward here is where management makes some changes very early on in the incident, changes to how, for example, software is being written without first discussing that with the people who actually have to do the work and have to implement these changes. An interesting new project, the Finger Bank, attempts to collect fingerprints from various devices. These fingerprints include MAC addresses, DHCP traffic, and user agents. In particular, the DHCP traffic, I don't really see a lot of attention being paid to, but essentially what this is all about is that different devices, different versions of DHCP clients send different options as they request an IP address from a DHCP server. So that's certainly an interesting distinguishing mark that's often not emulated well if someone, for example, just fakes a user agent. The intent of the fingerband database is to be, for example, used for network access control, where you could look for anomalies here. Certainly also useful for network forensics. And there have been a couple instances over the last few months or so where FireEye vulnerabilities were reported. Now, at that point, there wasn't really a lot of detail available about the exact nature of these vulnerabilities. This is changing now with Google's Project Zero publishing a blog post with some pretty incredible details about how to exploit these vulnerabilities. In essence, it is possible if your FireEye appliance is not up to date that you send an email to a user that is protected by the FireEye appliance, and then as FireEye inspects the email or inspects the link that the user is clicking on in that email, the content being delivered back to the user is actually directed at FireEye, and as FireEye inspects that content, you can fully compromise the FireEye appliance. With that, of course, an attacker would gain access to a device that would allow access to listen on pretty much all inbound network traffic, depending on where this appliance is exactly placed. So certainly would be a huge win for an attacker and something you should pay attention to. If you are running FireEye, make sure you are up to date. If you are not up to date yet and you're waiting till Monday to actually apply any patches, then first make sure that your appliance has not already been compromised. And talking about vulnerabilities, there is a new vulnerability that was released in Bind. Now, there is a patch available. The vulnerability itself is not overly critical. It's a denial of service vulnerability that can be triggered by recursive queries. So a proper configured name server should only allow these queries from inside your network. And so far, an attacker would already have to have access to the inside of your network. Probably more problem for people who are running public name servers for larger user communities that you don't necessarily control very well. And Cisco is starting to share vulnerability information in standard formats via an open API. Pretty interesting move. Haven't seen any other vendors doing that, reading and parsing the Microsoft vulnerability reports, for example. It would be nice to have something like that in order to create our table a little bit more efficiently and less manually. But Cisco has it available now for you. So if you're using Cisco products, in particular in large numbers. If you look for something to integrate with your vulnerability scanners and the like, then you can use Cisco's API. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow.